This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your host, Sean Lavery. This week's show is going to be a little bit different. I'm actually the guest tonight. I was going to have two other guests on with me. I'll explain that a little bit later. I'm just today is Sunday evening, and I am just back from a pretty big moment for me. I fished my first major kayak fishing tournament, and I figured I'd take tonight's show to kind of recap what that whole process was like, because I've never fished a tournament that big before, so it was definitely a learning experience. I learned a lot. I had a great time, and just got to meet a ton of really good people. But I wanted to start off by apologizing to you guys for kind of being out of the Noobs tournament this month, between going on vacation, going to camp, getting COVID, and just getting ready for some guests to come into my place, which I'll talk a little bit about later, and getting ready for this tournament. The month of July pretty much got away from me. I did catch some fish. Didn't have my paddle and fin identifier with me, however, so I wasn't able to get anything on the board for the Paddle and Fin July tournament. But August is a new month, and I will guarantee you that I will have a fish on the board for August. So, I know that it's super close. Some guys are duking it out at the top there. So, congrats to everybody who did do well in July. I definitely saw some good bags put up there, and I wanted to encourage you guys to keep at it and keep lighten up the Facebook group, because I love hearing your guys' comments there, and getting to kind of go back and forth on things and drop whatever hints or find info for you if you guys need it. So definitely keep that up, and the July tournament should be up, or the August tournament should be up on Tourney X right now if you want to go and sign up. If not, I'll make sure I'll talk to Susie and we'll get it up ASAP. But that being said, the reason for tonight's show is I got to fish in the Hobie BOS event on the Susquehanna. So huge moment for me in my kayak angling career, and definitely a learning experience. Like I said, I can't count the number of different ways that I had to learn and grow a little bit But I'll start with the story of how it happened, actually. Ethan Jett, who you guys might remember, we had him on a while ago to talk about Shaky Heads. He lives down in Tennessee. He's good friends with Ryan. So back when Ryan was on the podcast, we had Ethan on to talk about Shaky Head fishing. And after that event, or after that recording for the Noob Show, I had told Ethan that if he ever wanted to come stay with me to fish up here, he was certainly welcome to. Well, some time went by, and he reached out to me and said, "Hey, Sean, you know, I'm thinking about fishing the Hobie BOS event on the Susquehanna. Would it be okay to stay with you? I'd like to take you up on that offer." And I, of course, said, "Absolutely. We have plenty of space here." And so if anybody is ever interested in coming and fishing the Susquehanna, and you would like a place to stay, you know, I have a big basement with air mattresses and couches and all sorts of stuff down here. So plenty of room. If you ever want to come check it out, just hit me up and we'll see what we can work out. But Ethan reached out to me and, you know, said that he was planning on coming up. And so I told him, "Sure thing, man. You know, my house is your house." So he asked me if I would fish it. And I was like, "Oh, man, I don't know. I know I had a conversation with Brian Schiller, talking to him about potentially fishing the Hobie BOS, and I wasn't sure I was ready. But I decided when Ethan asked me that I would go ahead and give it a shot. So the day of registration came, I was driving when registration opened. I think I was halfway home. I had about, you know, half an hour to go to get home. By the time I got home and got logged in, it was sold out. So I was like, "Well, that stinks. I totally missed that." And Ethan was able to get in on the first round. So he had said, you know, that he was sorry that I didn't get in. But then lo and behold, I found out that there was a waiting list. So I emailed Cody Prather, I think was who I actually know is AJ from Hobie, and got on the waiting list for the Susquehanna event. I think when I finally saw the waiting list, I was somewhere around 40th or something on the list. So didn't have super high expectations. And anyway, Ethan had been in touch with me and said, "Oh, I'm definitely still coming. I want to fish it." And a good friend of his, and now a good friend of mine, Stuart Saples, actually tagged along with him on the trip up from Tennessee. So I was happy to be able to host both Ethan and Stuart here at my house this weekend for the Hobie event. They came up on Wednesday night, I believe, and they pre-fished some and were able to stay here at my place and keep me company. And I got to listen to a lot of their pre-fishing stories. And I think it was Tuesday, I got an email from AJ saying, "We've had some cancellations in the Hobie event on the Susquehanna. Please email me back if you're still interested. Your name is on the waiting list, so we want to see how many people on the waiting list are still interested." So pretty much as soon as I got that email, I emailed him back and said, "Definitely, I'm still interested. I would love to take part in it if possible." And I think Wednesday evening, I got an email back from AJ saying, "Congrats, you're in. You should get an invoice from me shortly. Pay that and you're good to go." So Wednesday night, I found out that I was fishing in the Hobie BOS on the Susquehanna with 199 of the best anglers or kayak anglers on the planet. And unfortunately, I one of my main regrets is not doing any pre-fishing. I had to work on pretty much Monday through Friday. So between that and getting everything ready for Ethan and Stuart to come, I was not able, and recovering from COVID, I was still in isolation, so I wasn't really even able to go out too much. So I didn't get to pre-fish anything. And as we get into the story of how I did in the tournament, that will play a major role in how I did. So so anyway, Ethan and Stuart got to my place on Wednesday night, and they ended up pre-fishing on Thursday and Friday. And were telling me as when they came back to the house and we, you know, stayed up way too late talking fishing, on those two nights, I feel bad for them because, they were going on very little sleep. They were telling me that, the water levels were insanely low. And I had heard that, and I was seeing other anglers posting on Facebook all over the place that the water levels were just insanely low. And it's kind of funny because not even a month ago, I fished a tournament on the Juniata, which is kind of up in that area. There was actually portions of the Juniata open for this event. So I was like, it was a little bit low when I was up there, but I wouldn't say it was insanely low. And so I was seeing these pictures on Facebook of places that I recognized and seeing, you know, a lot of it out of the water. And Ethan and Stuart both came back and they were telling me places where normally I had no problems using my Hobie Drive. They were having to get out and walk. And that was in the rules for this Hobie event. They did actually allow portaging your kayak, which I guess normally on a lot of the Hobie BOS tournaments, they do not allow that. But due to the water levels being as low as they were, Hobie made a special rule change for this event, and they allowed you to get out and actually portage with your kayak. They had some stipulations. Your kayak had to be attached to you at all times. Ethan is also on staff for Rogue Fishing Company, and he was nice enough to bring me one of their new products that they'll be having coming out, and I was able to test it out on the water, and it was a kayak tether. So I was thankful for that because I was able to actually use it this morning, because one of the places that we went to was really, really low, and it was actually almost easier to just wade fish with the kayak attached to my, I actually hooked it to my PFD because I forgot to wear a belt, but that's neither here nor there. But definitely my brain was full of all sorts of thoughts, and a belt was one of the things that escaped me. But I did was able to try out that Rogue kayak tether, and it was really neat. I'll have to see when they're planning on releasing that, and I'll definitely maybe have Ethan come on and talk to you all about it, because it is a really cool product. It has a quick release, so that if you, for whatever reason, need to get unhooked from your kayak, you can definitely do so. But it's a really neat setup, and I'm definitely looking forward to having Ethan on to talk about that. Stuart also got some good news. He was able to get on a pro staff for a local bait company up here in Pennsylvania. They had reached out to him, and he was able to join them. So maybe we can have Stuart on and talk about that, because Stuart's definitely a cool guy. I was super happy to get to meet him this weekend. He has a really interesting story, and kind of just getting into kayak fishing. He's maybe 2 years in, so definitely would be a fun chat to have with him about his progression and how he's done. Anyway, back to the Hobie BOS. So Stuart and Ethan both pre-fished Monday or Thursday and Friday, and they did struggle. And I think a lot of it had to do with those water levels. They had a pretty good list of places and had done some research beforehand, and they were asking me about it. And I was telling them, yeah, I think those are good places. Those are some of the same places that we hit as on the Kayak Anglers of Central PA tournaments. And I think it'll be, you know, I know they're good fisheries, and, you know, I think they should be good. And each time they get back and they're like, no, we really struggled. We, you know, we either caught, you know, nothing, or they caught, you know, small fish, couldn't find any really that measured. And it really surprised me, because some of the places they had been were highly recommended to me at multiple times, and were also recommended to them. And so that just tells you a little bit about where the water levels are for on the Susquehanna right now. It's just really kind of crazy now. So they did pre-fish, and then on Saturday I ended up going with two guys from the my local Kayak Anglers of Central PA, Josh Sims and Ryan Reardon. So thank you to both of them. Big shout out to them for letting me tag along, even though I didn't get to pre-fish with them. They had actually done some homework and pre-fished a few times this week. And I kind of reached out to them, to Ryan, and said, hey, I have no clue where I'm going. I didn't get to pre-fish at all. Feel free to say no, but if you guys are okay with me tagging along, I will definitely do that, because I didn't know if Ethan and Stuart wanted me to crash their party, because I know they had definitely plans on where they wanted to go. So I figured I would make my own plans just in case. And on Saturday, I ended up going with Ryan and Josh. And so I really didn't sleep much Friday night. I was super nervous for some reason, like almost sick to my stomach nervous. I don't know why. Maybe because I just didn't have any pre-fishing done. I'd never been to the place that we were going to start. So there, I just had a lot of questions in my mind, and just not knowing how the, you know, whole thing was going to go. I didn't want to embarrass myself. You know, I wanted to, you know, just make sure that I enjoyed my first kayaking or Hobie experience. And so we went to, they had board check.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And the meeting on Friday night at City Island in Harrisburg. There's a baseball stadium there, and so we ended up, they had it right kind of outside the stadium at a pavilion. So that was another fun event, because I got to meet a ton of really cool people, definitely tons of people we've had on the show. I got to meet Jeff Little in person, Jay Karshman, Josh Shrenko, Cody Prather. Some of the big name people that I was really looking for whatever reason, didn't go to the meeting. It obviously wasn't mandatory. You had to get your board checked, so they must have been there at some point. But by the time I got there, most of the big name people, like I was looking for Christine Fisher, Drew Gregory, those kind of names, and they had all either come and left at that point, or you know, had somehow made other arrangements, because I definitely didn't see them. But I did get to meet Trey Leach from Innovative Sportsman as well. Just a ton of nice people, and really great to meet them in person. They're the exact same people they are on the show, so it was super nice. I had a long conversation with Jeff Little. He was asking me if I was ready, and I told him no, because I didn't get to do a ton of pre-fishing, but he just told me to go fish and have fun. And I went and got my board checked. I didn't know until Tuesday night that Hobie required a metal catch board, so I had to order one of those like next day air to get it there in time. I also didn't know for any of you guys who do that, they do have a limited amount of catch boards at the check-in, so I could have bought one there with the Hobie logo. I kind of wish I would have known that prior. So if any of you guys are in that same situation, definitely know that they had a pretty good supply. They definitely didn't run out of them while I was there. So if that ever happens to you, you can, save a little shipping money, and actually just buy one there. They also had, really cool hats and shirts, that you could buy. And, they gave, quite a few stickers away. Like when you check in, your check-in packet came with a sticker. They put a sticker on your catch board, to show that it's been checked. And so it was definitely an interesting experience. It was, they had pizza and drinks there for us. And then they went over the rules, which for as far as rules goes, they were pretty standard for kayaking tournaments, nothing too crazy. Obviously, there was no motors. Motors were allowed to be used in practice, but not during the actual tournament. And So that didn't bother me at all because I obviously don't have a motor yet. It's maybe someday, but I know a lot of people were, you know, with the amount of river that was open for this tournament, it was a huge amount of water from basically Sunbury, which is north central PA, the whole way down to past City Island in Harrisburg. So the bottom boundary is maybe like 40 minutes from my house. The northernmost boundary is probably an hour and a half. So that just gives you an idea of how much river was actually open. Plus they opened up at least a mile up the Juniata, I believe, which meets the Susquehanna up north, and you know, creeks and stuff. So with all said and done, there was a ton of water that you could fish for this tournament. So props to Hobie for a really broad spectrum of water to fish. We had everything from, you know, what we call pool areas, you know, where the water is kind of slow moving, and to, you know, rapids for pretty much. Stuart has definitely a good story about finding a kind of pretty good ledge that he ended up going over with his kayak. So thankfully he made it through okay, and had a great story to tell about that. But definitely there were some pretty sketchy conditions on the river. Just the water was low, but it was still fast. So it was almost worse because you never knew when you were going to bottom out, or like if I did have my pedals in at times, and the water was moving so quick, but also low. So you would just all of a sudden catch and or hit a rock that you normally wouldn't be out of the water. And so it was definitely a kind of a, that was a learning experience in and of itself. Cause I definitely had to do more paddling than I have for years, cause I couldn't pedal. I think on Saturday I pedaled maybe a third of the time. And other than that, I was either waiting or paddling, and waiting was even sketchy at times just with the water flow and the slippery rocks and everything. I did wipe out a few times and can kind of fall in at least up to my life jacket. So at one point my net got away from me and I had to go hop in the kayak quick and go rescue that. And then at one point my paddle even got away from me when I slipped on a rock. I was kind of pulling the kayak with one hand and had that paddle in my other hand, and I slipped, held onto the kayak, but dropped the paddle. So luckily it didn't get too far away from me and I was able to recover it relatively quickly. So like I said, the conditions were definitely different, and it wasn't until I got out on the water myself Saturday morning that I realized really how different it was. It looked like a completely different fishery. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, inches down, it was feet low in many places. So you could see on the banks and stuff where the normal water level would be. And I think the place we fished this morning was definitely, I think, 4 foot low at least. So that gives you some idea of kind of the really different water level. So a place that a month ago I was able to fish easily could definitely fish completely different, and did fish completely different at the Hobie event. So throughout the week I was watching, you know, on Facebook and Instagram and seeing some of the posts that people were posting about practice fishing, and they were definitely finding fish. So I wasn't super worried about that. I didn't want to skunk. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't finish last. So that was kind of my main goals were to catch at least, you know, some fish on and get some fish on the board, and to make it back, obviously, you know, safely and with all as much of my gear as possible. So I did accomplish those goals. So on Saturday, we launched, I can talk about it now because it's over and done with. We launched at Duncannon. I had never launched from that point. I had launched further north and further south, but never right in that stretch. So that was a new launch for me. I went with, like I said, Ryan and Josh. It was definitely an early morning. I got up at 2:30 to meet Ryan at 3:30. so we could get to the launch. The launch that we did was just kind of a tiny little launch. It didn't really even have a concrete ramp. It had a kind of a dirt path, but it was a legal launch. And but there was only like two parking spaces at that launch. So Ryan told me that we have to get there early just to make sure that, you know, we can launch there. So I got up at 2:30, drove to meet him at 3:30, and we were there and had taxied some cars around by 4:30. Lines in was at 5:30. So we ended up sitting there you could be on the water at 5:30. Lines in was at 6 a.m. So you could be we got there. We were ready to kind of be on the water. Like we were sitting in our kayaks on the bank, just waiting at probably 4:45. And nobody ever else showed up at our ramp. So it kind of surprised me. And Ryan had said that during pre-fishing, they didn't see a lot of people in that stretch of river. So we kind of thought initially that we would have that section mostly to ourselves, but boy, were we wrong. So as we were sitting there, it's like 5:15, just starting to get kind of a little bit of daylight, and down river from us, actually up river from us where we were, we could already see a few headlamps of people getting ready just like we were. So I was like, okay, well, we might have a few people with us. Interestingly enough, there was a local tournament here. I think it was Kayak Anglers of North America. I can't remember who it is. Susie actually judged for that tournament, and they were kind of using the same boundaries that Hobie did. I didn't know that until that morning. And right at first light at 5:30, when we were allowed to get on the water, we got on, hopped in the kayaks and started heading across. Because the two guys I was fishing with had a spot on the other shore that they wanted to hit right off the bat, if possible, before anybody else would go through there. Well, we saw another kayaker come down from where we had seen the headlamps. And Hobie was no motors, obviously. I don't know. I thought I heard that the local tournament was also no motors. But the person that came down past us definitely had a motor, because they were flying. And we saw them coming, and they pretty much went straight for the spot that we were going for, got there and kind of hung out. So we had to kind of adjust upriver a little bit from where we wanted to start. And but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too far. And that person ended up not really staying at that spot very long. They pretty much made a few casts and left. So we made it across the river, and we're sitting there. It was probably like 5:55 when we hit the other bank. And we were just sitting there waiting for six for lines in. So I was watching my watch. The second we hit 6 o'clock, I started making casts. And I had definitely some plans on what I was going to throw. I was planning on throwing my popper first thing in the morning, trying to get that topwater bite. I had a crankbait tied on, had a Ned rig, and let's see, what else did I have? I had a big Joshy swim bait. I had a chatterbait, and I'm trying to think what I had. I took six rods with me, so nothing too crazy, for a lot for me, but there's definitely many people there I saw that had way more than six. But that's what I went with. So I started off with the popper, made a few casts, and then I also had the crankbait rod laying on my deck. So I picked that up, and probably my second cast with the crankbait, I hooked a dink, a little fish, and I was like, oh, all right, well, the crankbait bite is on. It was not on. I alternated back and forth between the crankbait and the popper for probably the next hour and a half, and didn't have any more bites on it. I think it was probably, let's see, maybe 8:30 or so. The guys I was with asked me if I had a spinnerbait. At that point, Ryan, the one guy I was with, had caught two fish, a nice 18 on a spinnerbait, and then another, I think a 13 or something small, but still measurable on the spinnerbait. So he asked me if I had one, and I said, yeah, I have my whole spinnerbait box in the front of my kayak. I definitely overpacked. I think I brought pretty much everything I owned. So my kayak, needless to say, was extremely heavy. So I tied on a spinnerbait that Brad Hicks had also talked about on their show that he got from in his Dark Horse tackle box. And I also got a similar one. Mine was a different color, but it still looked really cool. So I was kind of excited to try it. Made my first cast, and the line snapped, and it went flying. And I was like, what the heck? I just tied that knot. It looked perfect. I still don't know what happened. So I was like, that sucks. So I got out my spinnerbait box, and I took out a black spinnerbait with a Colorado blade on it and tied that on. And started making some casts. And I did catch another dink relatively quickly. I'd say probably within 15 to 20 minutes of tying on the spinnerbait. I did catch a dink on the spinnerbait, but kept throwing that for a while and then ended up, you know, putting it down for a little bit because I just wanted to try some other things. So I picked the popper back up again. Again, this is a Ricoh popper. One of my favorite discoveries from fishing on the river. And probably after I picked it up again, maybe my third cast of just sitting there, pop, 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 I had a huge blow up on it and it was gone. I think if I was just talking to Ryan about it. He's like, oh, I had a muskie cut me off. And I was like, oh, man, that almost has to be what it was because it was such a clean, just pop, pop, smash. And then the line was free. So it just went right through my line. That would have been awesome to be able to catch a muskie. Ryan actually did hook two muskies yesterday and both broke him off eventually. He was able to actually see the one and get it pretty close to his kayak. But so that would have been a first for me too. I wish I could have at least hooked it and fought it a little bit, but it was a clean slice on my popper and it was gone. So I was down a popper and a spinnerbait at that point. I tied on another popper, but didn't throw it too much more just because I hadn't had much other than that musky blow up. And I switched back to my crankbait and probably my third cast on the crankbait and that line snapped. I was like, what the heck is going on? I ended up tying on another crankbait, and then I didn't lose a bait for the rest of the day. I have no clue to this right now what happened with all three of those knots. I try and triple check my knots when I tie them because I hate losing baits that way. Especially that Dark Horse Tackle spinner bait really bums me because I didn't even – it was my first cast, and it was gone. And the popper was gone with the muskie, so there was no saving that one. But the crankbait I don't know what happened. I'm trying to remember if I felt the bottom at all, but I don't know if I set the hook and thinking it was a fish and it was the bottom. And but whatever, for whatever reason, the line broke right at my leader knot. And so I was down a crankbait, a spinnerbait, and a popper at that point. And I'd just been to the tackle shop the night before and spent $80. So I was kind of bummed about that. And I'm not even sure when I retied all of them, I tied them on Seaguar and Vizex because that was probably the best line that I had. And I was like, well, I want to tie something that I'm at least somewhat confident that it won't break because I had some. I had a couple different lines in my kayak with me to tie on. But I was like, you know what, I'm just going to tie on the Vizex because that's probably the nicest line I have. And, you know, it ended up working out pretty well because I don't think I broke off like that another bait. I had some snags and stuff where I lost some Ned rigs and some other things. I think maybe a few break offs, but nothing anywhere remotely close to that, you know, 15 minute stretch of stuff where I lost three baits. That really got to me. And I was like, well, I got to keep my head. I got to keep my head in the game. I can't get upset about this. I just retied. And I was hoping not to have to do that because that took some time as well to retie all three rods. but I went ahead and did it. And like I said, that kind of worked out because I don't think I lost another bait just, you know, purely just by losing it for the rest of the day. So at that point, I only had those two fish, nothing on the board. It was probably like 10 or 10:15. I was fishing right next to Ryan, still throwing the crankbait a lot because the conditions just looked amazing for it. It was clear. It was low. It was rocky. So I was like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, the crankbait, it wasn't really grassy at that point where we were. So there wasn't a lot of stuff to get caught on. But I don't know. I lost count of how many casts I made with the crankbait, but I threw it a ton and didn't even get a sniff on it for the most part. Other than that very first fish. And so right there was a big part of my game plan, and I kind of had to throw it out the window. So at one point, Ryan was next to me. We were in some pretty fast moving current, and we were kind of just floating next to each other, kind of moving down the current. And I saw him catch a fish, and it was a nice fish. And then he, I kept floating while he stopped. He anchored down to take the picture and everything. And I noticed when he went back to fishing that he stayed anchored. And I was like, oh, he's changing tactics. And then he caught another fish. And so I kind of paddled back up to him. And I was like, man, I saw you catch two fish. And he was like, yeah. So you got to throw what I'm throwing. And I was like, okay, what are you throwing? I had saw him kind of working something very slow, and I thought he was using a tube. So I, at that point from far away, I tied on a tube and started working it slow, kind of mimicking him to see if I could get some bites doing that. Well, I kind of worked my way back up to him, and he's like, well, here, I'm going to give you what I'm using. And he gave me a big TRD on an 1/8 ounce EWG. Not a small like Ned Rig head, but it was a pretty good sized like a long shank EWG with an 1/8 ounce head on it. And with that big TRD, he was just chucking it out and letting it drift back to him with the current. And that's how he was catching fish. Initially, that wasn't my favorite tactic because I was really trying to throw the crankbait more as a search bait just to cover a lot of water and trying to pick apart where they were rather than just let something bop along and, you know, whatever it happens to run into is what you get. But he was having luck on it. And so he gave me one. And in the next 2 hours, I caught three keepers. I think I caught a 15 and then a 12 and then a 13. And so I was on the board. I didn't get skunked. So I was pretty happy at that point. Ryan had caught a limit at that point and had started to cull some of his smaller fish. And so we caught up with kind of got in touch with the other Josh, the other guy that had started with us. He had also had a small limit at that point and was starting to upgrade his fish as well. I took a quick look at the leaderboard, and there was definitely some people who didn't post their fish until the very end of the day. Until, you know, people were already off the water, because there were some big names that had either no fish or just a few fish. Like I saw Drew Gregory and
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Oh, I'm drawing a blank now. But just a lot of big names on the list that had no fish by like 1 o'clock, and lines out for this was 3 o'clock. So I was like, well, there's no way that they're skunked. So I was like happy just to have something on the board. I think when I checked at like 2 o'clock, I was 129th out of 200. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm not definitely in last, and I have some fish on the board. So, you know, we'll see what we do. what we can do. And as we drifted down river, we got to some much quicker and rough water. It was kind of in the Fort Hunter area. If any of you guys are familiar with the Susquehanna, there's a Statue of Liberty made out of garbage or something that some college kids did years ago as kind of a senior prank or whatever. They constructed this Statue of Liberty out of used parts and stuff, and it's been there ever since. But that portion of the river is Fort Hunter, and that's kind of where we were heading towards the end of the day. We were actually initially going to take out a little bit above Fort Hunter. So we were kind of getting down to that area, but the water was so low and fast that it was really hard to do much of anything unless you anchored down, and then you were kind of just spot fishing here and there. But there are so many chutes and rocks and all sorts of obstacles that you were kind of fighting your way through that it was tough. I could not have my pedals down because they were catching on so much stuff. So I was having to paddle. I definitely was not used to paddling so much. My paddling skills had taken a back seat after I got the Hobie, and it definitely showed yesterday because I struggled with boat control, not having my pedals and just being in that faster moving water and just always having to be watching what was coming because we were moving so quickly. And I did manage to catch probably three more dinks at that point. So I ended up, when we got off the water on day one, I had 7 fish total, 3 that measured and were on the board. I think I had 40 some inches. And at the end of the day, I think I was in 150th out of 200 place. And I didn't feel too bad about it. I was pretty happy that I survived. I did end up taking out by myself because the two guys I were with, wanted to go down one exit further. So I told them, yeah, I'm going to get off here, because initially we were all going to go down and then try and paddle back up. But by the time we got down there with the speed of the water, I was like, I have no faith in my ability to paddle back up from here. So I'm going to get off the water, and I'll drive down and pick you guys up one exit or one ramp lower. So they ended up staying on the river, which actually didn't work out to their advantage too much. Josh caught a big channel catfish, and Ryan broke his paddle, which tells you a little bit about how the water was moving. So it definitely was rough water at the bottom end of where we took out. I was happy just to make it back to the launch at that point because I was dead tired. My shoulders were on fire from paddling so much and not having done that for a long time. And then I got to the takeout, and it was straight up this dirt hill. I ended up having to unload almost everything out of my kayak to drag it up that hill. Because initially I was planning on having help there, but those two guys ended up floating down. So I had to take care of that myself. And it was a little bit of a chore, but I made it with no problem. And then drove down to the next ramp and met them down there, and were able to, you know, get the taxiing back and forth done. At that point, I headed home and, you know, talked to Ethan and Stuart a little bit. They didn't have much more luck than me. I think Ethan caught 3 keepers. He was a half inch ahead of me in the standings. And Stuart had 1 fish on the board. They had really struggled as well where they went. So it was definitely feast or famine, it seemed like. There was definitely people who found fish. I think day one, Ewing Minor was at the top of the boards with 90 some inches. So people definitely found fish, and I give props to all those guys because, you know, I don't know if it was a lot of time pre-fishing or just, you know, they had spots from last year that worked out, but people definitely found fish. First day, I definitely did okay. Had I switched to that big TRD earlier, I probably would have had a limit. I'm confident. That was kind of the last thing on my mind as to what I wanted to throw. So, I think if I would have went back there on day two, I probably would have done okay. I probably would have got a few fish on the board at least. But as it turned out, I went back on Saturday night and talked to Ethan and Stuart, and I said, hey, you know, you guys came up here. If you're okay, maybe I'll fish with you guys tomorrow just to see what that's like. And they weren't 100% sure where they were going to go, but decided to try a different place than they had on day one because, like I said, they didn't have a ton of success. And they had decided to go to a spot that they went pre-fishing. Didn't have a ton of luck pre-fishing, but just wanted to give it a try because it was closer to my house. It wasn't as far as they actually went up to the northernmost boundary on the first day, which was an hour and 25 minutes plus up from my house. So they were looking for someplace a little closer. So I was like, well, that sounds good to me. You know, I need to get a little sleep. So I got up at 4 instead of 2:30, which definitely was nicer. And we headed up to a place called Marysville and the Rockville Bridge, which as soon as we got there, I was like, oh, this place looks amazing. It looked exactly like where I usually fish in Wrightsville. It had a lot of rocky islands kind of and a bridge right there. So I was like, it's like Wrightsville. It should be, you know, this should be great. You know, I'm going to do awesome. We put on the water. I think Kate Field actually went out of that same launch. I did not see her, but Ethan was telling me that he saw her when we left. And I think I saw her from afar. When I was fishing the bridge, I saw someone downriver from me from a distance, and he told me that was her. So, Kate, I hope you did okay. There, I know, I think we checked when we left that area, you had one fish on the board at that point. So congrats for that. But, we ended up, I started fishing, I went up through the rocks and just the way the current was, and it was because it was low, I had a lot of trouble making it up through those rocks. So I couldn't fish it like the way I fished the rocks, that I'm used to in Wrightsville. I did catch, a dink right off the bat. Maybe 10 minutes in on that Ned rig with the big TRD, I caught a little, maybe 10-inch dink. And so I was like, okay, maybe this will work out. But I think 9 o'clock rolled around, and Ethan called me, and he said, have you had any luck yet? And I said, no, all I have is that one dink. He's like, well, Stuart and I both haven't caught anything. I talked to a few other people, and nobody's catching things here. So we're thinking about making a move. And I was like, okay, that's fine with me, you know. I'll definitely go where you guys go. And so we pulled off the water probably like 9:30, and we decided to go down to City Island, which is closer to my house yet. And I had fished there before, so I was like, okay, well, I'll at least know that area and you know, have an idea of where I want to go. I knew there was 5 bridges there right around City Island, so I was like, it's going to be a ton of bridge pilings. You know, if it's anything like Wrightsville, you know, you might have to fish a bunch of bridge pilings, but you'll find a fish here or there. So we took a drive down. We got to City Island probably about 11 o'clock. And Stuart decided at that point he was just going to go get breakfast because he was tired and hungry. So Ethan and I got out in the water in Harrisburg, and we decided to split City Island. He basically said, you go around this side and I'll go around the other side. And, you know, we'll see what we can find. If anybody finds fish, let the other person know, and, you know, we'll work it together. And so that was the plan. We both worked our sides of the island. I did not find a fish. Ethan ended up finding one 11-inch fish that didn't even measure. And we both fished every bridge piling on all 5 bridges. And I could not believe there was no fish there. I am shocked. And just the water was clear. It was pedalable, which I was thankful for. I was able to use my pedals there pretty much for the whole afternoon at Harrisburg, but there was no fish. They were just not there. Like, the water was clear. So I was looking and I had no signs of fish. Like I said, Ethan caught that one 11-inch, but other than that, he said he didn't see anything either. We did find one bridge piling that we saw a blow up on, and we're like, oh my gosh, there's fish there. And we paddled over there and found a whole bunch of carp. So that is pretty much how my tournament ended. We took a shot at Harrisburg. As we were getting off the water, We met a gentleman who was taking a jet boat out, and he's like, oh, I wish I would have known, you know, you guys, there's about a mile up, which was probably about a mile south of where I took out on Saturday. He said the ledges are on fire right there, you know, but you had to be on a certain side of the river. And because Ethan and Stuart had fished that stretch of river that he was talking about, but they had fished the west shore. And he's like, no, you don't want to fish the west shore. It's too low over there. You definitely want to be on the east side. And so it turns out that Ethan and Stuart were in the right place, just on the wrong side of the river. This guy had caught like 15 fish in 2 hours or something. So that is how my tournament ended. I did not catch a measurable fish on day two. All I had was that one dink, which was definitely disappointing to me.
You'd think with four of us spread out on a tiny island that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
But I'm going to still take it as overall a success because I was able to fish a major event. I don't know when I will fish my next major one. I don't know that I'll be in a rush to, especially because I thought I would know these waters. So I thought, you know, if any event I'm going to do okay, and it's going to be one on waters that I know. Those waters ended up being completely different than what I expected. So I had to adapt on the fly and, you know, might not have done it as successfully as some other people have, but I don't regret it. I'm happy that I fished it. It was definitely a good learning experience for me, and looking forward to trying it again at some point. I definitely, it will help me in the Kayak Anglers of Central PA tournaments that I fish, because there are tournaments that I hadn't been able to do yet. And now I have fished those waters and I know where ramps are. So all in all, it's going to help my fishing a lot from the experience. So I can't say I'm, you know, too disappointed. I wish I would have finished higher. Definitely props to the people who did. The standings are closed right now. That we have another half hour before they post who won. So I'm looking forward to seeing who came out on top. I know Drew Gregory was up there, and you know, the big names that you expect to see were definitely up there. So it'll be interesting to see who takes it out. I'm sure maybe, you know, they'll have them, Dan will have them on his show, hopefully, if possible. So, definitely tune into that, but, so that's pretty much it. All in all, if you guys are thinking about doing it, I'd say, you know, if you're on the fence about trying it, I think I kind of took Kate Field's philosophy. I just kind of jumped in and went with it. And I'm glad I did. I definitely will do things differently next time. Some things, you know, I'll definitely pre-fish more with COVID and all that fun stuff. And not really finding out I was in the tournament until kind of last minute. I definitely didn't get to do as much of that as I wanted to. But it was a really well-run event. I think, you know, Hobie did a great job. Everybody was super nice, super friendly. We had all the information we needed. The venues were great. They really treated you well. I got a lot of cool things. I actually won a prize at the raffle. I won a battery pack, and so that was cool. And I'm definitely going to keep my my tourney tags as mementos to remember, and that's pretty much it. So if you're on the fence about it, definitely give it a try. The people were great. You know, it's you, if anything, you'll learn something, and you know, that in and of itself was a great experience. So that's my story. I do have plans for a real guest next week. So thank you guys for listening, everyone who tuned in for my whole kind of recap here. And our regularly scheduled show will return this week with a guest, and we'll be back to business as usual. So thank you for your patience with me this past month. I know I missed some shows when I was on vacation and at camp, and then We have this show that isn't 100% normal, but I promise you guys, I will be back at it, scheduling guests and getting you guys some great information coming shortly. So thanks again for your patience. Thanks for all you guys do. Keep up with the Noobs Tournament. August is coming, so get signed up if you're interested. And I will catch you guys next week. So thank you again for tuning in to this episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. You guys have a good night. Stay safe and have fun out on the water. And I will catch you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more. 4 in the morning.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up in the sky.